Reminder, everybody, please turn your cell phones off, iPads, volumes, iWatches, whatever goodies you got. Good morning, everyone. It is August 16th, 2022. It's 10:01. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving right along, item number three, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the agenda for August 16th, 2022. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Nor do I.
County Manager, do we have any modifications to today's agenda?
Not today.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? As a reminder, folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature or star six to unmute yourself, or you can use the chat feature as well. Not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four, today's consent agenda. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's consent agenda?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you could entertain a motion.
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number five. This is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. That said, is there any public comment this morning? Not seeing any public comment. We're going to move over to item number six. This discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to start off with the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Dozen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. The only thing I have to report it with sadness is the passing of three residents down in Lockwood in the past week and a half. Mary Lee Miller and Tommy Whiteman were both founding members of the CERT program and will be sorely missed. Michelle Newman, she also passed away this past week. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. Next on the list is Chief Lockhart from the Story County Fire Protection District.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Lockhart for the record. Just a couple updates here, and I'd like to give kudos to our Public Works Department. We did have a water line breakout in front of the fire station last night. They showed up fast. They got on it, and they worked long and hard through the night to restore the water and ultimately get water back onto the citizens. So, again, I just want to say thank you to Story County Public Works for their hard work. Next, and this is just kind of a little intro into it. We have been working with the Sheriff's Office here the last little bit. We currently have a student program with the fire district that has been around for a long, long time. And fortunately, we've taken in a lot of members. Two of our past chiefs have come up and grown up in that program, and it's sat dormant for a while. So we're just looking at ways to revitalize it and maybe into a combined program with the Story County Sheriff's Office. So good things coming, and hopefully we're introducing that to the schools come October 1st. And the last thing that I want to just more public comment is our U-Call WeHaul trailers are being used very extensively. So for our citizens out there, we keep moving with the program. We're trying to get it there as quick as we can, dump it as much as we can, but understand there's a long delay, up to a month to 2 months for some of our trailers. So just please be patient with us and we'll get it out when we can. That's all the updates I have. If you have any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Chief?
No, thank you, Chief.
No. All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have anything. Thank you. Up next is Story County Public Works Director Jason Wersbicki.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Just to echo what Chief Longcar said, I appreciate the kudos. I'll pass that along to the guys. But yeah, we had a water leak in front of the Station 71 last night. The guys finally got it all buttoned up and rolled off the street around 2 o'clock this morning. And on another note, looks like we finally got our permit for the flashing horse signs on 341 on both sides of Cartwright. So we'll be commencing on that project here shortly. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No, thank you, Jason.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jason. Those signs were 3 years in the works, but we'll finally hopefully see them up soon.
Yep.
Thanks for all your help on that. Moving right along, Project Coordinator Mike Northand.
Mr. Chairman, nothing today.
All right. Story County Communications, Becky Parsons. Moving on to Business Development Director and Emergency Manager, Laura Mather.
Good morning, Laura Mather, for the record. A couple of items under emergency management. Now that our three wildland fire smoke sensors are installed in the three locations and up and running, I was anxiously awaiting DRI to tell us we could go ahead and start publicizing that data as it comes through. We had a meeting with them last week, and because this is brand new technology that they're using, it has to be certified by the EPA. So the EPA is going through the data as the sensors are bringing it up, and they will certify that is accurate data. Once that's done, then we can start making that public. But we started going over the community sort of education program that'll go along with this. So one of the things that DRI is creating for us is going to be this unhealthy air sign. They're going to make large ones, you know, by, I don't know, 2.5 feet square that we can put up in various buildings throughout the county. And we can change the dial to let the public know what the air quality is. And then they have some really great graphics that are very simple to read, very eye-catching, that will let our community members know what type of activity can be or shouldn't be done during these times of very poor air quality. So we're looking forward to that, and hopefully the EPA will do it sooner than later. We received an email and letter from Carson City Health and Human Services. They have created a new text messaging system that they are using to track COVID-19 cases. Yes, we are still talking about that. The problem that they're having is most people think it's a scam. So we are all overwhelmed with scammed emails and texts and all of that stuff. So they would like for us to give our community a heads up that it's not a scam. The text messages will say, hi, and then give a person's name. Please take the survey regarding your recent illness. Gives a link to the survey. And what's causing the problem is the number that the text comes from is never the same number, and it is not always from a 775 area code. So maybe we can include this letter in the Commissioner eBlast so that people can actually see what the language is, so that they will know if the text that they are receiving is a scam or not. For business development, I continue to reach out and work with both the businesses within Story County and then resources that are within and around the county. Several county employees went to the Rise Renewables site tour. I believe that was last week. This was a great opportunity. So staff from Senator Rosen, Senator Cortez Masto, and Congressman Amadei were there. So this gave me the opportunity to meet with the two senators' staff and to thank them for everything that the senators did for our appropriations projects, getting those pushed through. So I take the opportunity anytime I can mention those those appropriation projects in Story County and how grateful we are as those projects move through the federal budget. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura Mather?
I do not. Thanks, Laura.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again. We're going to bounce back to Story County Communications. Becky Parsons. Maybe not. All right. We'll go to Community Relations, Honey Tapley, Honey Menifee. Sorry.
Good morning, Honey Menifee, for the record. This is the last week that the Community Project Grant application is open. The applications are due by Friday at 5 p.m. And again, if anybody has any questions about an eligible project or needs help with their application, just please reach out to me. Either by phone or by email, and they can call 847-0986, or my email is hmenifee@storycounty.org. So that is it for my report today.
Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey?
I do not. Thank you, Honey.
Vice Chairman?
Honey, I was just going to ask you, would you mind sending, do you have the application in a PDF or something?
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind shooting that around, because I was trying to post to get the word out last night, I realized All I had was last year's.
Yep. Yes, I will get that to you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for the update.
Thank you.
VCTC, do we have someone from that organization here? Nope. Moving on. Okay.
You said the same thing. Sorry, you said the same thing. She's got audio problems.
Okay. Comptroller's office. Comptroller McCain. All right. How about the assessor's office? Assessor Sedner. How about the recorder's office, Marnie Hanson Martinez?
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Marnie Hanson Martinez, reporter. We've recently rehung two restored maps in our office. The first is a 1908 survey of the Comstock and Brunswick lodes. And the second is a 1923 section map of Story County. Please stop by and take a look. These are maps that we use frequently in the office, so we are happy to have those back. With the new fiscal year, we've initiated a GIS mapping project of the patented and unpatented mining claims. Once completed, a link will be created on our website for public access to view these claims on a satellite overview. Otherwise, I'm transitioning out of the office and working with my staff on that. And that's all I have at this time.
Thank you, Marnie.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Marnie?
I do. I do not. Thanks, Marnie.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Good, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for the report. Story County IT Department, James Dean. About community development, Peter Noe.
Good
Well, I know Eric Schoen's here because I saw him with my own eyes. Community chest.
Good morning. For the record, Eric Schoen with Community Chest. Since it's been a while since I've been here, I thought I would come by and give an update of what we've been up to this summer and kind of a fall preview. So first off, summer for us is usually when our youth programs are in full swing. We had a full complement of youth attending our summer programs, up to 65 youth per day, which is a lot for us. It's the most we've ever had. And it was by every measure successful. We avoided having any major incidents, and all the youth, I think, had a good time. We were able to utilize the pool, thanks to the Story County being able to find a way to keep that open. And I have to say, that's one of the favorite parts of the program, is the youth being able to spend the afternoons at the pool. So really appreciate all the effort that went into making sure that stayed open. We also increased our early childhood education program to full capacity. So in other words, no, there's no longer a cap for COVID. We're up to our full capacity, which is about 25, 26 students. And we now have two Cal buses on the road down to Mark Twain providing classes. So the idea is we've had a couple parked around. We're trying to get them up to full capacity. And it just takes time to develop those classes. And once we have them up to full capacity, they're self-sustaining financially, but we're taking them those one at a time. So that's good. We're moving forward on that. In terms of fall, we're back to our before and after school program. So you'll see the kiddos dropped off at the school and at our program, both before and after school. Our early child educational program will continue to run at full capacity. I think I mentioned before that we are looking to open an infant care center this fall. That'll be in the bottom floor of our, what we call the Pink House administrative building at 991 South C Street. We aren't yet ready to announce a time to open because, just like everything else in the remodeling, some things are taking time to get put up and in terms of installed. And we have to get through all the little licensure. I mean, we will be licensed. We just have to meet all the criteria to get to that point. So I was hoping to be able to come and tell you that we were going to open in October, but my youth program developer said, hold off a second. I don't want to make any promises we can't keep. So stay tuned for that. But when that's open, that'll provide support for parents looking for a place to drop off their infants between 6 months to 2 years. And we'll be able to have up to eight little ones in that program. And then just in case people forget, I want to remind folks that the library, our food bank, our food closet, our primary health care and mental health services are still available all throughout the fall. So are there any questions?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Eric?
I do not, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
I don't either, thank you.
Okay, sure, thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Senior Senator Stacey York.
Good morning, nothing new today, thank you.
All right. How about the DA's office?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. County Manager's office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just remind you and the community, on August 18 at 5:30 in Lockwood at the Perry Ranch Park will be our next community workshop regarding the county strategic plan. So hopefully folks down there show up and tell us what they'd like to see in their community. And then also, I too would like to thank our Public Works folks for being out there at midnight and 1 a.m. out there fixing the water leak. That is yet another example why we need new water lines. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Last but not least, Clerk Treasurer Rory, do we have anything? All right. Thank you for all the updated staff. We're going to get back to the regularly scheduled agenda, which is item number 7, or board comments. I'm going to start off to my right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments for us today?
I have nothing to add today. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any board comments. Thank you.
All right. Neither do I. Let's move on to item number 8, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval for the acknowledgement of the resignation of Marnie Hanson Martinez as Story County Recorder, and action by the Board of Commissioners of appointment of an interim director or recorder. or direction to recruit a qualified individual for appointment or other action deemed appropriate by the board. Austin?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager. For the record, what you have in front of you, there's a vacancy announced by the recorder, Marnie Hansen Martinez. She'll be leaving that office on September 2nd. The district attorney's office and Keith in particular has provided us a way to address a situation where we only have one person left on the ballot for the recorder's office. And it's my understanding from Mr. Loomis that this board would be able to appoint the person that's on that ballot for to fill the remainder of the term until the point that she fulfills that office in a permanent capacity. I will let you know that in front of you is a motion, and then the motion is pretty much open-ended. I have prepared for you a possible motion for you to continue if you would like me to read that when you're ready, so you can incorporate that all into whoever you decide or however you decide to handle this matter.
All right. Thank you, Austin. I'm going to start off with Commissioner Gilman. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this? Maybe an idea of how we'd like to proceed?
I believe that we're looking at proceeding with the individual that's on the ballot, and I'm certainly supportive of that if that's the direction that the commission takes.
Fair enough. Vice Chairman Mitchell, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's kind of where I fall with it. You know, I was reading the NRS on it, and if we were further out from an election, there may be a good reason to look at putting out a notice and a call for qualified applicants. But since we're this close to a change in that regard anyway, I think it makes sense to just accelerate having Drew take over in those responsibilities.
Yeah, I agree. Having somebody fill the role for 3 months with no potential future, I think, is sort of a pointless exercise. But if that's how we all feel, I will take some public comment right now regarding this item. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
If it would be all right, I'd like to hear the proposed motion from County Manager Osborne.
Sure.
Okay, the motion, commissioners, will be the same as it is currently on your cover sheet, and then where the three dots are, it would continue and to appoint blank your person to fill the remainder of the office term until January 2023, when that person assumes office permanently in accordance with the general election.
Was the last part of it one more time?
It assumes the office permanently in accordance with the general election.
Perfect. All right. Then I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to acknowledge the upcoming resignation of Marnie Hansen Martinez as Story County Recorder, effective September 2nd, 2022. And further move to appoint Drew McPherson to fulfill the remainder of the office term until January of 2023, when Ms. McPherson will assume the office permanently in accordance with the general election.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. All right,
Mr. Chairman, before we move on, if you indulge me, I just want to take a moment when we're at this point to issue my thanks to Marnie for her years of dedicated service.
More?
Nope, that's it.
Agreed. Thank you for your service, Marnie. All right, moving on to item number 9, this discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval for the acknowledgement of the resignation of Dorianne Nevin as Story County Clerk Treasurer, and action by the Board of Commissioners of appointment of an interim clerk treasurer or direction to recruit a qualified individual for appointment or other action deemed appropriate by the board. Austin.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osbury, Story County Manager. For the record, what we have in front of us is a vacancy of the clerk treasurer's office. Dory Nevin has announced her retirement on September 16, a little bit earlier than the end of the term. We worked with the district attorney's office and Keith Loomis on his given an opinion that under the circumstances with the amount of time left in the election and only one person being on the ballot for that job, that this board could consider appointing that one person to fulfill the remainder of the term or choose another option. At this point, I'll leave it up to you to discuss. I will let you know for the record that I have prepared a motion to continue on with a motion that's on your cover sheet that will allow that allow you to fill in for whoever you decide to choose.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions regarding this item?
I do not.
Vice Chairman Mitchell.
County Manager Osborne, is the motion that you have prepared reasonably similar to the last motion that was presented?
Just for record's sake, I would like to reread it.
That would be great.
Since we are on a separate item, when you're ready.
Whenever the chair would like to. And equally, I'd like to just take a moment to express my thanks for the dedicated and distinguished service that that Dory has given to the county over the years.
All right. With that said, is there any public comment regarding this item? Please come up and state your name.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Willett. It's W-I-L-L-E-T-T for the record. And I'm the grassroots manager at All Voting is Local, an organization that exists to expose and dismantle threats to voter freedom. And I want to begin by sincerely echoing what you're saying for thanks for Ms. Nevin for all of your years of service and ensuring fair and safe elections in the county. Nevadans believe that freedom of vote must belong to all of us, and our state has increased voter participation by making it more accessible to vote through increased voting options and by expanding access to voter registration. We encourage the county to appoint a clerk who will continue to support voter participation and follow state law that allows all registered voters to vote by mail. Voting by mail benefits Nevadans and rural counties. In 2020, over half of rural Nevadans voted by mail, the highest percentage of voters in the state. And in Story County, 35% of residents voted by mail during the recent primary. Voting by mail is well used, well liked, and state law. We also encourage the county to appoint a new clerk who will continue to follow state laws for same-day registration and automatic voter registration. Both of these laws contributed to record voter participation in the 2020 election, and same-day registration also has the dual benefits of increasing voter turnout and updating and correcting rolls. And finally, to protect Nevadans and their votes, we urge the county to reject any election process that solely uses paper ballots and hand counting. An all paper ballot election will violate the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. As per federal law, election officials are required to provide an electronic voting system for voters that have a disability, and the county can't reasonably hand count within the certification deadlines. It's imperative that everyone has the opportunity to cast a ballot and have it counted. In addition, hand counting ballots is extremely costly. Counting thousands of ballots is not time efficient and again jeopardizes the certification. And the cost of labor to do this is high and at the cost of taxpayers. The chances of error actually increase. We continue to support the use of electronic voting machines, which are accurate, quicker to tabulate, and ADA accessible. So thank you so much. We really look forward to working with the new clerk.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Austin, do you want to read the proposed motion?
Yes. The proposed motion would be as on your cover sheet with the suffix of "and to appoint blank to fill the remainder of the office term until January 2023, when the person blank assumes the office permanently in accordance with the general election."
You good?
I'm good.
All right. Entertain a motion if you still like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to acknowledge the upcoming resignation of Dorianne Nevin as Story County Clerk, Treasurer, effective September 16th, 2022, and further move to appoint Jim Hindle to fill the remainder of the current term until January of 2023, when Mr. Hindle will assume office permanently in accordance with the general election.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Dory, for all your work over the years. Much appreciated. Moving on to item number 10, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of settlement agreement between Story County Bankruptcy Trustee Angelique Lamberti Clark, Trustee Peter McAllister, and Jack and Paula Flowers in the case in which Cetus Mortgage is the debtor pursuant to the settlement. The county and the buyers will each pay $75,000 to the trustee. The trustee will in turn issue a deed of reconveyance to real property commonly known as 1333 Venice Drive in McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Nevada APN 005-101-20. Each of the parties will execute releases of all other parties from any and all claims that they may have. All parties will ask the bankruptcy court to include in its order approving the settlement a provision annulling the automatic stay rule back to January 1st, 2011, insofar as it does or may affect the property, certain deeds of trust, the tax deed, the tax sale, and the sales deed of the property. In addition, the county will provide the buyers with a policy of title insurance, which does not have exceptions for various deeds or trusts, and agree that the buyer and any purchasers from them may develop the property without reference to any subdivision maps, records of surveys, or CCNRs imposed by the previous owners of the property. Assistant DA Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, DA's office. This is some litigation going on in bankruptcy court since about 2008. The county did not get involved until about 2011 when we went through the tax sale process. Jeff Hartman, who is on the Zoom connection here, has been representing the county in regards to that litigation. And I would advise that I did receive some language from Mr. Hartman last Friday that was going to go into the agenda identification, but it was too late to actually get it on the agenda. So it has been provided in the staff summary, which was provided to you yesterday. It was also posted for public review at the same time it was provided to you. So I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Hartman if he's ready.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. I guess it would take a long time to go back to the beginning of how the journey began to where we are today. But the goal is to bring to a conclusion the litigation that was filed in the bankruptcy court by the trustee for Cetus Mortgage Company. Very briefly, Cetus Mortgage was a mortgage broker operating here in primarily in Washoe County, issuing construction loans and having investors, in many cases, in most cases, senior citizens participating in loans. For example, there'd be $1 million loan and 10 individuals would invest $100,000 each. And they would each be payees on a promissory note and beneficiaries under a deed of trust. The state of Nevada eventually closed Cetus Mortgage Company. And many years later, its principal, Marcy Benvin, was convicted by a federal court and served, I think, 5 years in the Nevada State Prison. So the particular property in question on Venice Drive was acquired by an individual named Ron Osborne. And Mr. Osborne, working with Ms. Benvin, put on over a course of a very short period of time, 10 different loans and deeds of trust, which all totaled, I believe, in excess of $7 million, transferred title to the property to an LLC. And then Mr. Osborne, because of the downturn in the economy, filed a bankruptcy case. In the meantime, I think it was in 2014 or so, the county conducted a tax sale on the property. And unfortunately, the noticing for the tax sale was done incorrectly. And the tax authorities in Story County were not aware of the bankruptcy case, and the bankruptcy trustee was not aware of the tax sale. The bankruptcy trustee's involvement in this whole fiasco is actually relatively small and involved very small fractional interests in two deeds of trust. And that led to the bankruptcy case litigation against Story County. Over probably the last 5 years, the negotiations have gone on, and eventually we've reached a settlement agreement between the county, the bankruptcy trustee, and the individuals who purchased the property at the tax sale. It involves a rather complicated resolution. The easiest part is whereby the trustee reconveys the bankruptcy estate's beneficial interest in two deeds of trust that affect the property. And one of the problems that we've had is finding a title company that would be willing to insure the title that is currently held by the buyers, the McAllisters and Flowers. And I finally located a title company in Orange County, California, called Orange Coast Title, who specializes, who specializes in this kind of a problem and will issue a clean policy to the current owners, who then have the ability to sell the property to a buyer and give a clean title in that transaction. The settlement provides that Story County will pay $75,000 to the bankruptcy trustee, and the Flowers and the McAllisters will pay a like amount, and the trustee in the bankruptcy case will release and reconvey the interest in the two deeds of trust. The problem, of course, is the problem is the remaining eight deeds of trust. And the process that we will be going through in bankruptcy court is to give notice to all the beneficiaries on those other, other eight deeds of trust, and determine whether or not they are going to object to the settlement agreement in the bankruptcy court. The settlement agreement is set to be heard, I believe, on sometime in mid-September, and then we will know whether or not any of the beneficiaries under the other eight deeds of trust object. At that point in time, Orange Coast Title will will tell us what they would like to do to go forward. And as I've advised Mr. Loomis and Ann Langer, that if it comes down to it, I'll have to sue, or the county will have to sue the beneficiaries in Story County, which I think is a relatively straightforward process, because there are two provisions under Nevada law that basically hold that those deeds of trust and notes are no longer enforceable. One is just a straight statute of limitations problem, and the other is the ancient mortgage statute under NRS 106.240, which says that if a deed of trust and note are more than 10 years old, they're presumed to be deemed satisfied. So it's a, to me, it's a relatively straightforward process. And I've been involved in other 106.240 litigation, and the Nevada Supreme Court has ruled on that statute, says that it's clear and unambiguous. So the final stop in this case will be, if we have to go there, a determination by the Story County Court that the notes are unenforceable. So that's a short story for a very long history in this case. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for anyone that's spoken so far?
I do have. Good to see you again, Mr. Hartman. It's been a long time since we've
been. Nice to see you, Mr. Commissioner.
The question I'd have in reading through this, and I hope it's a fairly simple one. So am I reading the last sentence here in our document? And it says that buyers and eight purchasers from them may develop the property without reference to any subdivision maps, records of survey, or CC&Rs imposed by the previous owners of the property. This property falls within the covenants of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, which is covered by a development agreement and a set of CC&Rs that all users coming into that park fall under and would be under the supervision of the Story County Building Departments and Codes. And so does this circumvent, in your mind, the CC&Rs that and entitlements that are, does it circumvent that in the TRI covenants?
That is a good question, Mr. Gilman, and the answer is no. The backstory is that when Mr. Osborne went to the county and asked for this record of survey to be put in place, it had to do with, for lack of a better term, the project was to build storage units for RVs and boats and things like that. And the developer, Mr. Osborne, had divided this parcel into probably 90 little slices of real estate, each supposedly having its own separate APN. And the CC&Rs that we're talking about in connection with this transaction are CC&Rs that were recorded by Mr. Osborne, not those with respect to TRIC. So it was never the intention to circumvent the earlier filed and recorded CC&Rs.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's the only question that I would have.
All right. Thanks, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions.
All right. I don't have any questions either. So with that said, we'll go to the public. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the terms of the settlement agreement between the trustee, the buyers, and Story County regarding the bankruptcy case filed by Cetus Mortgage and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Hartman, for your efforts on this.
Thank you for your time.
Moving on to item number 11, this discussion for possible action. A consideration of possible approval for the potential expenditure of approximately $18,721 for the courthouse electrical rehabilitation project. Honey Menifee is going to handle this?
Menifee is.
All right.
Thank you. Honey Menifee for the record. The Story County Courthouse Electrical Rehabilitation Project, Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation, Fiscal Year 21-22 grant application, was approved and awarded $80,418, which was the cost that was estimated from United Electrical Services, Inc. on their bid in November of 2021. Since that time, the cost for material and labor have risen. Further, certain items like drywall and carpet repair were omitted from the initial estimate. After the award notification, I reached out to, Jeff with Public Works reached out to United Electrical Services to get an updated cost estimate and a revision of the scope of work to include any of the contingent drywall and carpet repair that may be necessary. The difference between the original November 3rd, 2021 estimate and the revised July 6th, 2022 estimate is $18,721. At the June 4th grant award hearing, I petitioned the Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation for further award funding to cover any of these anticipated increased costs to the project. I have resubmitted the formal request for these funds to be the funds to the State Historic Preservation Office, and this petition will be presented at the August 30th CCCHP Grant Commission hearing for redetermination. My request includes the full cost of the project without a match requirement from Story County. Upon determination, we may receive the full amount. Should we not be awarded the entire request, the county's monetary responsibility for the project will be $18,721. Therefore, county staff is asking for the consideration and possible approval of approximately $18,721 to complete the courthouse electrical rehabilitation project. Should that amount not be awarded at the August 30th CCCHP grant award redetermination hearing. And currently the project is scheduled to start on September 1st. And United Electrical Services is just waiting for our grant to be returned to us with the signatures from SHPO. They have been signed on our end, and then they will place the order for the electrical panel boxes and things as necessary to begin the project as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey about this electrical project?
You know, I don't. The only thought I would have, Mr. Chairman, is that we need to move forward and finish the project irrespective of what the issues are here. So let's wish her luck for picking up the additional funds, but also make it the funds available so we can finish appropriately.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Honey about the project?
I don't have any questions for Honey. I do just kind of have a procedural question as far as the motion. And I guess my question is, do we have a standard variance or threshold if we make a motion to approve an expenditure in an approximate amount where it would come back if there were additional cost overruns? Or is there a different way that we should structure it to take that into account?
I can go for it. Sure. Well, what we have done, Mr. Chairman, is Keith Loomis, DA's office, is said we use the word approximately because it was a minor deviation between what was actually approved versus what it actually turns out to be. If it's minor, and minor is not defined, but it's just kind of the way we've been using it. What I've been saying, if it's large, we'll bring it back to the board. You know, change orders are going to come back to the board. Minor deviations, I've been saying, no, those don't need to. We don't have a definition of minor. Okay. We might put it into a policy if that's a concern.
Yeah, not necessarily concerned for this item, but I think maybe in the interest of good governance, it might be worth having a policy that sets a guideline just so that there's not ambiguity or arm wrestling over what minor means.
So. All right. Thank you. I don't have any questions for you, Honey, but we'll go to public comment now. Is there any public comment regarding this item, the electoral project? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the potential expenditure of approximately $18,721 for the courthouse electrical rehabilitation project.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, honey.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to item number 12, this discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of the bid for the construction of the fire apparatus storage building at Station 72 in the Highlands, submitted by Shakespeare Unlimited, Inc., in the amount of $665,889, and to authorize the county manager to enter into a contract for its construction. Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan, Operations and Projects Coordinator. The board may recall we put this project out to bid initially back in May. At that time, we received two bids. One was responsive and the other was non-responsive. Unfortunately, the lower bid was non-responsive at $756,900. The responsive bid came in at $797,950. Looking at that, we have an average of $777,425. The difference between them was $41,050, about a 5% spread. At that time, staff recommendation was to reject all bids since we only had the single responsive bid and put it back out to bid. So we did that. Bids were received 2 weeks ago. We did get two bids again. Both were responsive this time. One was from the same bidder as before. Their price increased slightly at $854,000 even. And we had a new bidder come in, Shakespeare Unlimited, and they came in at $665,889. So from the last responsive bid to through this rebid period, we got the new one here at $665,889. That's a net savings off the bat of $132,061. So it is the recommendation of staff that the board accept the bid and authorize the county manager to enter into a contract for construction and get this project underway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. I want to emphasize on this, we're working with Mike Northan. Just because the bid would be accepted at 665 does not mean the project is going to be 665. Mike is working on what you call it a, there's a name you use.
Value engineering.
Perfect. Would you like to explain that a little bit to try to get the cost
down? We get the contract nailed down and then we'll do what we can during construction in terms of purchasing material selection, granting the contractor some leeway in terms of timeframes. In order to control costs during the project.
And then if we're not able to get the project down to a targeted amount, then we may come back to this board for a recommendation to deny.
Okay. And part of that may be a deferment of major components like the backup generator for, that's gonna be 40 weeks out anyways. We may pull that out of the contract and that would have a significant impact on the cost of the project.
All right, fair enough. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike or Austin?
Certainly provides the advantage of having some competitive bidding when you're moving forward. Mike, thanks for the savings on this, and I hope it all goes as well as you've directed it. So I appreciate the report. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for Mike or Austin?
My only question is just to make sure I clearly understand the value engineering process or proposition is an effort to reduce the cost further beyond this or to make sure that we can control costs to this?
No, it's to save beyond this. Yeah,
thank you.
Reduction of that price.
All right. I don't have any questions for you, Mike. We'll go to public comment, see if there's any public comment regarding this apparatus building. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I just wanted to make point out one thing, and that is that while the fire apparatus storage building doesn't sound particularly exciting, this is the what will enable the community center in the Highlands, right? That's why this is being built, so that it opens up the building that's currently being used for this purpose, so that we can move forward and make sure there's a dedicated space for the residents of the Highlands to use.
I think you just jinxed it.
I was just clarifying. Yeah. I wasn't promising anything. All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to accept the bid from Shakespeare Unlimited Inc. for the construction of the fire apparatus storage building at Station 72 in the Highlands for an estimated amount of $665,889 and to authorize the county manager to sign a contract for its construction.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
Moving on to item number 13 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us to item number 14, which is the consent agenda for possible action. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about the consent agenda for the fire district?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions?
I do not. Thank you.
Nor do I. Is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda for the fire district? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the newly created personnel policies P301 HR roles in the hiring process, P302 candidates and recruitment, P303 job announcements, P304 eligibility reduction apps, P305 examinations and interviews, P306 reference checks, P307 applicant investigation, P308 selection, offer and screening, and P309 orientation for the Story County Fire Protection District.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passed unanimously. Moving right along to item number 15, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the ordering of a Type 5 and Type 3 wildland fire engine currently approved in the 2022-2023 district capital budget as a single Type 3 engine with the addition of a Type 5 engine to be paid for out of for budget years 23, 24, and 24 and 25. Chief.
Yes, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar again for the record. So we were approved to purchase a Type 3 fire engine this year out of this budget. And as we've discussed in the past, right now, just acquiring these engines and the time delay on receiving them is extremely delayed. So we found out, we narrowed them down, and their ballpark figure is just 2 years from time of order to delivery. So I'm asking you today to not only proceed with the purchase of a Type 3, but to also put a Type 5 on order. The price difference is quite substantial. A Type 3 is running us approximately $450,000, where a Type 5 is about $250,000. It is in line with our department capital improvement plan. So it will align with what we'd already presented in our capital improvement plan, but it allows us to put the order in now and start that clock. So because of the 2 year delay, and that is still a rough figure, I did list that it would be out of the 23-24 or 24-25 budget. Again, we can't pin these down to exact dates. However, the sooner we can get our name on the list, we can start that clock and hopefully get these in as expedient manner as possible. So I feel free to answer any questions you may have about these, and hopefully we can start this moving along.
Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Chief?
Yeah, just kind of explore this a little bit. Type 5 engine, very expensive. And I know that we're reaching out and looking to budget this for our 24-25 budget cycle years. And with all of the unknowns that are going on in the United States today and recessionary times, and we really are putting a crystal ball out there on the table. I understand the delay in the order. Is there a date certain where an order could be canceled, for example, if things were to deteriorate pretty quickly in and around the economic feasibility in the country?
Excellent question, Commissioner. And just to clarify, so the type three is the more expensive one of the two, That is the one we do have funding sitting for. So we're looking at about $250,000, and with the cancellation on it, there's a brief window to cancel it. And our problem is we paint stuff blue. So once the paint starts to hit the body and the chassis and all that, it's pretty much ours. One thing about it is we are looking at demo units on this, ones that they've already pre-ordered and they have in their fleet. So that does buy us a little bit more window to where we can cancel this. Like I said, provided we haven't made any modifications. And that one modification we're looking at is merely the paint. So we can back out of this, but that the $250,000 that we would need to save up and reserve and hence carry on, I do believe we'd have two budget years to do that.
Well, I have a tendency to err on the side of optimism now and then. And so I would join you on thinking it's prudent to get out ahead of this because it's such a long delivery time. But I would defer to the thoughts of my fellow commissioners here. I think sometimes spending money that's way out in a future that, and unfortunately, I believe our future looks uncertain in at least in the fiscal side. So I'm going to defer my decision on this and see how my fellow commissioners feel.
All right. Thank you, Fire Commissioner Gilman. Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
I don't have any questions. In the world of fire apparatus, you know, $250,000 isn't terribly, terribly high. Given that we have the type three already in the capital improvement plan for now, given the trends, the building trends and things that seem to be fairly consistent as of right now within the county, I feel comfortable authorizing the purchase or the order of these apparatus. I don't necessarily have an issue with it. I feel confident that we've been conservative enough in the budgeting that we've done that even if there was an economic downturn, we should be able to support the acquisition of these apparatus.
All right, thank you. I'm going to lean with Vice Chairman Mitchell here. I know we need to get these things done, and I think if we hold off, I think we're probably hurting ourselves going forward. So I personally don't have an issue with this motion as it sits. So
if I may,
have any questions for you,
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just a follow up on it. So please. We are ordering a Type 5 engine down the road here in a couple of years. And is there a strong need for this additional and replacement new equipment? I really don't have a feel for that at this point. So perhaps we could discuss that a little bit, why we're adding a Type 5. And I'm sure there's a specific need for that. But perhaps we could discuss that a minute.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, Commissioner. So the reason why you see a type three and a type five is the type threes, and I'll use this just a moment of just kind of educational. That's the big ones we have, the big brush engines. Our current fleet of those big brush engines is over 20 years old. Our shop mechanic, Trent, has been working diligently to keep them on the road and keep them moving. But as he can attest, a 20-year-old truck's going to have 20-year-old truck problems. So this is starting to phase those ones out. So it's replacing, but versus buying a whole new fleet up front and trying to take on that bulk of financial responsibility, we're doing it piece by piece. So we'll start a replacement program. So hopefully we're not having to replace them all at one time. We can stagger that out. The Type 5 is more of a pickup design. And if you've seen photos of the one we acquired off the NV Energy funding, it is that similar unit. In looking at the way we've done this, as we've typically said, a Type 3 services all wildland firefighting. We're going to put a Type 3 at every engine. Well, as you know, just based on our districts, we have unique just landscape and geography and hazards within each one. So looking at Virginia City, it doesn't make sense to me to be driving one of those big engines up here in the mountain, up in Davidson and around there, where a pickup's able to get us into better places. We can get there faster, and we don't need to carry as much water if we can attack it while it's small. So it will have type threes coming in to back it up, but we can get out there faster. So this is a, this is replacing our current fleet, but in a smarter manner. That's actually putting district specific apparatus to fit those specific hazards.
Thank you for that understanding. I appreciate that. I'm good to go.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Yeah, and I just had one final thought before I make the motion, and, sure. And that is, you know, no one really knows economically what the future holds, but I would venture a guess that it's fairly rare that pricing goes down over time. That's typically what you see, and so locking in orders earlier probably makes sense, even though we are committing to the expense. If we know that it's something that we're going to need, I think holding off may in the end up costing us more if we're trying to acquire it at a point down the road. So, all right. So I'll make a motion. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the ordering of a Type 5 and a Type 3 Wildland fire engines with no immediate expense out of the 2022-2023 budget year, with the approximate cost of $250,000 for the Type 5 and $450,000 for the Type 3.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passed unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Moving us on to item number 16 is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bring us to item number 17, which is discussion for possible action. This is approval of business license second readings A through G. Is there any public comment regarding business license readings A through G? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about these business licenses?
I do not. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions.
All right. Would you care to entertain a motion then, please?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses under item 17, listed as A through G.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passed unanimously. Moving on to item number 18. This is the second and final option for public comments. Is there any public comment out there?
Marnie Hanson Martinez, recorder. I just quickly wanted to thank you for your support during my time as recorder. We've completed many projects and continued the work of my predecessor, Jen Chapman, by creating greater access to the official record series in the office. I've enjoyed this opportunity to serve my community in the capacity of recorder, and I've enjoyed the collaboration that's occurred along the way with other county departments. It's been fun. We've been training for this transition since the spring, and I have every confidence in Drew McPherson and the office staff to further the work and the mission in the office. So that's it. Thank you again.
Thank you, Marty.
Good morning. I'm Drew McPherson. Just wanted to make a statement about my appointment today. I began working in the recorder's office a little over 4 years ago. In that time, I'm fortunate to have worked with two recorders, Jen Chapman and Marnie Hanson Martinez. They've been incredible role models and mentors, sharing their passion for the office, the county, and our communities. I've learned a great deal through their example, and I will maintain the high standard of knowledge, professionalism, and service they have demonstrated throughout their tenure. As recorder, my focus will be on continuing the office's mission to improve office technology, to broaden public access to our official record series, and to provide quality customer service alongside a knowledgeable and friendly staff. I'm honored and humbled to be presented with this opportunity. I'm always available if you have questions and welcome anyone seeking more information about the recorder's office to drop in for a visit. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any more public comment today? Not seeing any public comment. Brings us to item number 19, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:11. We may have broken a record. This meeting is adjourned.